going to sit today. Joshua 20. Oh, bang. And we only have about four more chapters in Joshua, then we'll be done. No. No, it won't be 6 months. We brought the comedian back from her trip, so she's back. She's back. Yes, we're still here. All right, so this is all about the cities of refuge, and I called it clemency, the cities of refuge, Joshua 20. So what are these? So this is, in Joshua 20, it says, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of these cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell amongst them. Okay? So, what are these cities of refuge? They are strategically located to provide protection from those who killed somebody accidentally or unintentionally. So let's say somebody's out and they're, chopping wood, and the axe head flies off and hits the guy behind him and kills him. They can run to the city of refuge before the brother comes to kill him for killing his brother. So where are these? North and south, both sides of the Jordan. Okay, so here's the Jordan River. Okay, you got Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea, right? And they're on both east and west, north and south. Line in the middle, both sides. Remember that. Why? To make sure a sanctuary was made until a trial could be procured to determine their guilt or innocence. How long? Now, if they were judged innocent, the slayer was required to live there until the high priest died. And then he can go home. Okay? So that was it. Why did God do that, though? Deuteronomy 19, if you want to read about that, it outlines God's merciful plan to make sure that, one, innocent blood is not shed on the land. That's one of the reasons. And also, if somebody does something unintentional, did no premeditated murder, it did it unintentional, accidental, or done out of ignorance, that they would not suffer. Okay? So, okay. So, an unintentional sin, an accidental sin, something done out of ignorance. And you know what? A lot of times we suffer the most guilt from things like that. I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have, if I wasn't in that spot, something this wouldn't have happened, right? So how about a comment made off the cuff? Or a decision made under duress or haste? Or a choice that was careless, but it wounded somebody? Or a hurt that causes harm towards a close loved one? Nevertheless, a sin has occurred. It's unintentional or not. And we have to look at all choices to be measured against God's standard of holiness, not, well, what I didn't do what so-and-so did, or, you know, it's better than this alternative. And I think we forget that. God's standard is the holiness, okay? Not somebody else's. So, how do we grieve God when his standard is broken? How's God grieved? Genesis 6:6, it says, violence was upon the earth, and it grieved God, and he cried so hard that he flooded the earth. Well, that's bullfrogs and butterflies, but anyway, you know what I mean, right? It says that he was grieved in his heart and had the flood. Psalm 95:10, it says, the testing that they tested God in the wilderness that we just read about, it said it grieved God for 40 years. So when you test God, it grieves his heart. The only thing that God ever said to test him in is what? Tithing. Very good, Emily. Woo! Isaiah 63:10. Rebellion grieves the Holy Spirit. Mark 3:5, hard-heartedness grieves and angers Jesus. It says that Jesus was grieved in his heart because of the hard-heartedness. Ephesians 4:30, unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit. So here we are in the cities of refuge. What are these cities? Okay? And, you know, when you look at everybody, you know, some people have said, well, I haven't sinned intentionally. I just, you know, look, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. And it's not intentional. We're just born into it. Then we get to intentionally sin along the way. So what hope do we have to flee the manslayer who is Satan? Because Satan's the one who points his finger and says, they've sinned, God. They deserve punishment. And because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy our freedom in Christ. And what we have to do is we have to run to the wounded side of Jesus and take refuge, like David says, under the shadow of his wings. So there's three cities of refuge that were made under Moses. And remember, Moses is the law, okay? Deuteronomy 4, and that's 41 to 43. You want to read about those. But here's the three cities that are on east of the Jordan, okay? So again, here's the Jordan River in the middle, on to the east, three cities, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. And you're like, so what? Well, I think there's something significant. Why does God put these cities there? Why? Okay, yes, they are easy to run to so that somebody doesn't have to go real far. Yes, they got three on the right and three on the left. But what do these cities mean? First of all, Bezer. It's called Bezer in the desert or in the downs of the east. It's all the way down on the eastern side in the desert side. Okay? Why have a city down there? Anybody ever been in the desert? Yeah? Anything good in the desert? Not really. An oasis. Yeah, cactus. Well, if Bezer's in the desert in the downs of the east, you need to run to the wounded side of Jesus when you're down or in a desert place. That's one place you can run. When you're dry and when you're down, you need to run to the wounded side of Jesus and take him as a refuge. Ramoth was in the heights of Gilead. Okay? Anybody ever hear of Gilead? Yes. The balm of Gilead. That's right. The balm, that's the place where the balm was used for healing. Okay? So Ramoth was in the heights of Gilead where it was hard and rocky in the mountains. The wounded side of Jesus, when you're hard-hearted or you come on rocky times in your life, you need a refuge. And Jesus is there. How about Golan? Anybody here know about Golan? What do you hear about in Israel? The Golan Heights. That's exactly where it is. It's in Bashan. And Golan, the word Golan means circle. Okay? The Golan Heights. And you can hear in the news, the Golan Heights, about how, what, the Palestinians want the Golan Heights, they want the Gaza Strip, they want the West Bank. And basically, the Golan Heights is the point of vulnerability for northern Israel. If you've ever been up on those heights and you look down, it looks down on all of northern Israel. Very easy to lop a bomb on somebody from up there. And that's why Israel took it during the Six-Day War, because they had to push back their enemies so that they had some protection. So it's very vulnerable up in those heights. You need to run to the wounded side of Jesus when you're going in circles, when you're confused, and when you're vulnerable to attack of the enemy. You need to run to Jesus. He's your refuge. So those are under the law, under Moses. How about the cities under Joshua? These are mentioned in Joshua 20 that we're reading right now, and they're on the west side. So if Moses is the law, what does Joshua represent? Grace. Yeah. Moses is the law. Joshua is grace. Remember, Jesus is full of grace and truth. Okay. So now you got three cities under Joshua that are on the west side. And these are the three. Kadesh, Shechem, and Kemath Arba, but is also known as Hebron. These are the three cities on the west side. What do these mean? Well, Kadesh in Galilee, where Jesus had most of his ministry, the Kadesh, the name means sanctuary or holy. Okay? Sanctuary or holy. It was holy ground, Kadesh. Why do you need to run to the wounded side of Jesus when you need holiness in the midst of temptation? Sometimes, you know, when people come in and they're struggling with something, you could say, hey, pull yourself out of the bootstraps and you shouldn't be doing that. Or what about praying the opposite spirit of what they're struggling with? Okay? If you're struggling with temptation and it's, debauchery or it's licentious, what do you need? You need holiness. And so you need to ask the Lord, Lord, I need to be holy. Because, again, we concentrate on don't do this and do this and do this and pull yourself by our bootstraps and all that kind of stuff instead of, Lord, this person's struggling with this. They need this. So if they're struggling with unforgiveness, what do they need? Forgiveness. If they're struggling with doing the truth and walking in the truth, right? They're probably dealing with deception. So it's that opposite spirit we need to pray for people. So Kadesh in Galilee is means sanctuary, holiness, and when you're in need of holiness in the midst of temptation, you need to run to the wounded side of Jesus. Shechem is in Ephraim, and Shechem means back or shoulder. And it's the valley between the Mount of Ebal and the Mount Gerizim. Do you remember we studied that? Blessings and curses, right? The two mountains. And they spoke out the blessings and the curses. And what was in the middle that they brought down as they spoke to both sides of the mountains, where they split up the tribes and half the tribes are on one side and half the tribes are on the other side. This is a test of the emergency Christian station to see if you were listening like 15 weeks ago or whatever it was. The Ark, right? And the Ark has what? The manna, and it has Aaron's budding rod, and it has the Ten Commandments, and all of them point to Jesus. Well, what stands between in the middle of blessings and curses? It's the cross. And if you look at this, right down the middle is the Jordan River, and you got three on one side and three on the other side, right? It forms a cross. And so the cross is in the middle of the blessings and curses. And it's also, if you look in Joshua 24:1, it is the place of Joshua's last words. And where was the place of Jesus' last words? The cross. It was on the cross. So you need to run to Shechem, the wounded side of Jesus, when you need support and be carried. You know, when you think of the back and shoulder, you think of like putting somebody on your back with like a piggyback ride, right? And sometimes we need to be carried, just like that footprints. Remember? Remember footprints in the sand? You know, Lord, I saw these two footprints in all, or four feet, and then all of a sudden I saw 2 feet, and you left me, and it's, no, it's when I carried you. Now, Tony has heel marks in the sand because she always says that Jesus has to drag her through the sand, you know. But either way, whether he drags you or whether he's carrying you, he's taking you someplace and giving you support. So that's in Shechem. The last one in the west side is Hebron. And Hebron means alliance. You remember, right, when we did Hebron way back when. It's the first place that Abraham entered the land of Canaan. And it's also where Sarah was buried. So it's a very special place. It's where Abraham entered Canaan. It's where faith starts, because Abraham is your father of faith. It's where your faith starts. And also Sarah was purchased, the purchased possession. Okay? Remember, Jesus purchased us with his blood. And today, in Arabic, the place Kirith Arba means friend of God. Friend of God. And that's what Abraham was. He was called a friend of God. So when do you need to run to Hebron? The wounded side of Jesus is when you need fresh faith when you're lonely and you need a friend, you need to go to Jesus, the city of refuge. Now, rabbinical teaching, okay, this is after the fact, but rabbinical teaching recognized these cities as places of protection, but also more of a place of atonement, a place of atonement made for the perpetrator to contemplate the fact that death occurred, even though they were pardoned by the sanctuary, but they also, when they went back home, they were to refuse any honor from the townspeople. Unlike us, who, you know, if you do some kind of horrid murder, you get to write a book and get a good book deal. What a upside down society. At least they recognized that a death had occurred, you were pardoned, but you refused any honor when you went back home. Old Testament alluded to the cities of refuge in Zechariah 9:12. This is what Zechariah said, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you." And in the New Testament, it's alluded to in Hebrews 6:18. It says that it is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So, finally, you can't talk about the cities of refuge unless you look at the word trust. Because in the Old Testament, the word for to flee for refuge is rendered trust. Okay? To flee for refuge is trust. So out of 30 passages where that's used, 24 occur in the Psalms. David sees God compared to a rock, a shield, and where he is described as taking refuge under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 61, 1-4. So trust. Big word. And most of us don't have it. Why? Well, the one who trusts God as his refuge is the one who casts all his hopes for the present and the future on God. Do we do that? All the time? Our definition of trust that we use in the ministry is integrity plus consistency over time. A little equation. Integrity plus consistency over time. Who is more integrous than God? Right? Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? And has he spoken and will he not make it good? Want to trust somebody? Trust the Lord. Who's more consistent than God? He says, I change not. Augustine called it the immutability of God. God does not change. And who's more timeless than God? It says, and we conclude that the attribute of God, that he is the eternal being. So if you got a trust issue, you got God on all three of those things. Integrity plus consistency over time. Now, one more thing with these cities of refuge is at the time of the high priest's death, the manslayer could return to his home. Okay, so they had to wait till the high priest died, and then everybody that was in the cities of refuge could go back to their home. Our high priest, Jesus, died once and for all for the sentence of death. And guess what? He opened the door for us to go home, our eternal home, because he's the eternal high priest. And we don't have to fear retribution and going home. Because guess what? When the high priest died, even if the family was still alive and they were these people, these manslayers that went to the cities of refuge were, you know, not guilty. So when the high priest died, it was, they could go home and not worry about retribution or being hijacked on the highway or anything else like that. They were free. And so are we. So are we. Don't have any fear of retribution. We're assured of our safety and security because Jesus makes intercession on our behalf. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to go to heaven and there's mansions and all these different things. You're not going necessarily to a place. You're going to a person. No? I don't know what it's like when you open up your eyes on the other side, but it says absent from the body, present with the Lord. It doesn't say absent from the body, present, you know, in heaven, even though that's where he is. You're going to a person who happens to be making a place for you. That's a big difference. So, what kind of refuge do you need? You know, are you in a down place or in a desert place? There's provision in a city of refuge for you. How about, are you hard-hearted or are you rocky, going through rocky times? There's a place for you there. How about you're going in circles and confused, or you feel like the enemy's just attacking you and you're vulnerable? There's a place there too. How about needing some holiness in the midst of temptation? There's a place for you there. How about you need to have somebody carry you because you're just weary and you just need the support? You just need to be put on somebody's back and shoulder and just given a piggyback ride. There's a place for you there too. Or how about you need some fresh faith and you're lonely and you need a friend? There's a place of refuge there. Something available for everybody. Just got to choose which city you want to go to. All right. You can put your Bibles aside. And we'll just keep plugging through here. Joshua, getting to the end. Run to the wounded side of Jesus and take refuge like David under the shadow of his wings. Well, let's pray. And as we pray, Paul, can you just get the baskets and we'll pass around for tithes and offerings. And we'll just pray and you guys can have another cup of coffee or fellowship. Lord, thank you for our day. Thank you for those that came. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for communion. Thank you for the sharing people's insights into the word. And thank you for your word. And thank you that these cities of refuge all point to you, every one of them. They're all a shadow of Jesus. And so we just really pray, Lord, whether we need to go to Bezer because we're in a desert, or Ramoth because we're hard and rocky, and or the Golan Heights because we feel like we're going in circles, or we need to go to Kadesh in Galilee where you had your ministry and we need holiness because we're tempted, or Shechem, Lord, when we need a back and a shoulder to cry on or be carried, or Hebron, Lord, because we need our faith a jump start and we're lonely and we need a friend. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever the need is, you provided for the children of Israel and you provide for us too. And we're so thankful that we see you in the midst of these cities of refuge. Lord, we ask you to bless the tithes and offerings. We ask you to thank you. We ask you, Lord, to multiply them. Lord, also we pray and thank you that you have given us gainful employment that we can go and earn income and make a living. And we don't take that for granted, especially in our economy, Lord. I just pray for every person to be blessed this week, Lord, at work, at home. And Lord, that what we take from here, that we apply to our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.